Our relations.
But then for customer relations, and I think we do have a lot of things to discuss. You would have received a notice for us to possibly go into closed session and to discuss the strategy. So, Ted, are we wanting to do that at the beginning here, or what is your plan?
I would suggest not at the beginning, okay. Sue. I think that there are a number of things that we can discuss in terms of this first item, the regional utility governance update and discussion.
Good.
I think if you would allow me a minute to kind of set the stage here, we're going to talk specifically about that item, but Graham had asked at the last meeting, at the board meeting, that we all consider what the decision-making process is going to be going forward and how we're going to bring that along to bring this to conclusion in an appropriate amount of time. And so giving that some thought, I think that I want to share with the board the perspective that we're still dealing with a series of issues, but they still all fall into really two categories or two buckets. And there's a whole series of financial issues that we're working on an ongoing basis. I believe that is up to staff to get those wrangled and to bring that back to the board in a package that we believe is appropriate for your consideration, as opposed to trying to understand those individually one at a time. Certainly happy to talk about any of those as we go on. But then there are these more what I would call strategic sort of questions. And what we're going to talk about today, what Amy is going to present to us today, is one of those sort of strategic questions, specifically related to governance and more specifically related to weighted voting and how we're going to weight votes, or if we're going to weight votes, and what our perspectives are there. A couple of other examples of that kind of sort of strategic decision that I think the board will want to consider is our total service customer representation. We certainly have a perspective there, but there are options, the length of the operating contract that we're willing to enter with the entity, and even services that we are willing to provide to this entity. If you look at the WRA model, there are things, IT services, HR services, financial services, all of those kind of things. And so that's the way I sort of break these things down in my mind. Today, we're going to talk about one very specifically related to governance and weighted voting. But Graham, I don't know if you wanted to weigh in on that decision-making process that you asked us to consider, or talk more about that at this point, or do we want to move into the governance discussion?
Well, my guess is, or my hope is anyway, is that, you know, whether people are at that point now or will be, I wanted everybody to start thinking about those items that they need answers for and what they're looking for. And, you know, I'll use myself as an example. Before we talk about governance and we talk about these other things, I don't know how else to say this than to say, you know, what's the sale price? You know, I'm looking, I need to at some point understand what the financial benefit to Des Moines ratepayers is going to be should we pursue regionalization. There has to be some sort of a dollar amount put on that. And I realize it's complicated in the fact that it's actually Des Moines' payment, if you will, benefit is something that's paid over time in the form of, you know, our rate structure. But I'm very curious to know how that is going to work, because at the end of the day, our Des Moines Water Works, that is, our ratepayers, our wholesale rate for water should be cheaper than anybody else's in the region for a significant period of time. But I don't know what that significant rate reduction is going to be, how it's going to look like, or how it's going to be calculated. So for me, that is the big question that needs to be answered before a lot of these other things. I don't know if anybody else feels that way.
I think you're right. And I think that's the story that we have to be able to put together, not just for our board, but for our elected officials and for our customers. I think we've talked about this, there are a lot of pieces to this thing. So to be able to get to that point, we have to go through all of these details. But I think you're absolutely right. And we've said this all along, each community will have to look at this. And if they can't look at it and say, we will be better off as a region than not as a region, then they shouldn't join. So trying to structure this in a way that everybody can get to that point, I think is what we're trying to do, to say this truly is better for everybody going forward. So that means that we really can't have winners and losers within the framework. But we do need to be able to show that benefit.
And I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure there are other things that are on the list there for other people too. I mean, you know, our whole motivation for doing this is, you know, regional cooperation when it comes to the natural resource of water and how that's going to look forward. So those are some of those pieces that you talk about, Diane, there. So if nobody else, Ted, has anything else to add, I mean, I just wanted to set the framework and at least have people start thinking about, you know, the questions that they had in their head and how they're going to get those answered. And as I say, there's no need for anyone to respond at this point, but that's how I think we should address not only today's discussion, but every discussion we have from this point out. Are we ticking off the boxes for each one of us? Even though we may not know what some of those boxes are yet today. So I like the way Diane put it.
Graham, I like that too. And I think for me, from a financial perspective, this is a great opportunity to just share a couple of thoughts and get reaction if there is any today, or plant the seed for future feedback. But from a financial perspective, I see three sort of considerations or three pathways. One is just simply looking at, you know, the rate that our customers pay for water today and what the rate they're going to pay in the future and how do those compare. And that is a measure. I think it's important that we recognize that going forward, as we regionalize and as we decide that we're going to expand source treatment and transmission, and we're part of that and we agree to that, that can drive that future rate. And it could affect how it compares to the rate today. So there's all the second consideration here is, how does the rate that our whole retail, or the rate that we pay to the entity for water, how does that compare to the rate that other entities pay? I mean, there should be a differential there because of the assets we're bringing and whatnot. But that's different than how the rate compares to today's rate. And it's important to understand that is impacted by what the region, including Des Moines Water Works, decides to do going forward. I suspect that we will decide as a region to spend a little more aggressively than we have historically. I think there are needs in the region for growth and upgrade. And so I think we're going to spend a little more aggressively. So there's this consideration of what we're going to pay compared to what we pay now, but there's also a consideration that we have to think about of what we pay compared to others. Because there may be a difference there. And then lastly is this concept of, you know, what do we receive as our return on our investment? It's more of the process that we go through to get to where we are. And are we comfortable with that process? And are we comfortable with the price that we receive for sharing ownership of our assets? And all three of those have to align at the end of the day. So I wrestle with all of those, and I wrestle with, you know, how is the board going to feel about each of those pathways? So at some point, we have to talk about what is the rate going to be compared to what it is now? What are our customers going to pay compared to what the customers of other entities pay, given what we're bringing to the table and our rate credits and whatnot? And what are we paying based on the structure of this organization? And it's very complex, and I don't want to get any further into the weeds than that, but I hope just to plant that seed and let people think about that a little bit. We need to be comfortable with all three of those from a financial perspective before we're comfortable with this deal.
I really like that framing, Ted. That's helpful. What is the capacity to give us, you know, comparisons or projections? I mean, I assume is there too many variables to say, you know, kind of if we take it this way, here are the answers to one and two. Question three is a little more philosophical, so I don't expect as much of a, you know, numbers there, but what's the ability to kind of start providing projections based on decisions we make in the negotiating?
We are moving in the direction of providing those answers. We've asked FCS to do some updating of their modeling, specifically with the intent of being able to help us identify what the costs are going to be and what the rate will be at the onset. I mean, I think we have to have an initial rate. And so they're helping us. They're doing some work for us. We've retained them. You've seen, well, on our first listing of professional services agreements, FCS is listed there. They're going to do some work for us to try to help us answer that first question and possibly the second question, because the second question has a lot to do with their model and how it's set up. So we're moving in that direction, Joel, but it's going to be a little while. Amy, do you have any, can you provide any clarity there based on your weekly discussions with them?
I'm expecting it the first part of March, something that we can react to and start to pull different levers and do what if scenarios.
There are a lot of variables in there, to your point, Joel, that we need to start placing the lever in a specific spot so we can say, if we do all of these things, this is where we'll be. And then the board can hopefully have the opportunity to react to all of those as part of this decision-making process.
I think that will be really helpful. I mean, to Graham's point, it's kind of hard to put a value on name your issue, you know, population-weighted voting, if we don't know how, you know, kind of what we're negotiating against and what we're giving up one way or another. So.
Yeah, I understand. We don't want to get to the end of this and have the finances not work or be a surprise. Right. Let's say it that way. We don't want it to be a surprise. So we're working hard on that right now. And I think that's a big part of this, and recognize that we are working on it right now. But while we're working on that and trying to bring you something, I think there is opportunity to talk about some of these other more strategic questions. And I think that's where we want to go now, if everyone's okay with that. Talk about specifically weighted voting within the governance proposal. And a couple of comments on weighted voting. There's potential that the agreement could say that any member could call for a weighted vote anytime they want, or as an option, there could be a specific list of items that are required to take a weighted vote. We're still working on that, I would say. But the bottom line is weighted voting is an option to the one member, one vote scenario, where Des Moines Water Works would have significantly more influence over a question. And there are a number of ways that votes could be weighted. Amy's going to walk us through some analysis that she's done on the options for your consideration.
Michelle, may I have the screen? Thank you. All right. So as Ted said, we've identified over time several options for how votes may be weighted on a regional board. And so I took some of those suggestions and put numbers to them just so that we could see if we chose this, what would it look like? And so what you're looking at here is a summary of that. And I've got a graph up here. Frankly, in this setting, I think that that's hard to read. So if you'll allow me, I'll just focus on this tabular summary here on the bottom. So along the top, we have all of the participants who have indicated that they may be interested in a regional entity. Des Moines Water Works, I've circled here. It's alphabetical, so it's kind of hard to pick out. And I should specify that this would include our total service customers. So I want to be clear about that. They're not listed separately because the thought is at a regional table, Des Moines Water Works would represent those total service customers. And then along this first column here, we have the various methods. And I think just for the purpose of explaining them, I want to leave the weighted to the end. And so I'm going to start at the bottom, do it a little bit unorthodox. So the methods that we've identified are max day, population, based on overall consumption, weighted max day, and weighted consumption. And so like I said, I'll start at the bottom and explain these. One argument has been made that at the regional table, governance votes could be weighted based on max day. So, you know, what entities peak is for the year relative to all the other communities' peaks, we could weight it that way. And as I go here, I'll try to maybe offer some pros and cons that we've thought of. And I'm sure that there are others that you know, stop me, and we can talk about others as well if you have some. One argument for using max day as the basis for weighted voting is a lot of the decisions that will probably come before the board relate to capital planning, you know, the timing, and there's a lot of cost related to that. And so an argument has been made, well, that seems reasonable that those who have, you know, the highest max days, they're going to be perhaps the most impacted by those projects and those costs. And so perhaps they should have a greater weighting. An argument against max day, which I support, by the way, is to do so would reward undesirable patterns or behavior. Do we really want to reward high peakers, high peaking communities with, you know, more votes? And, you know, there's, like I said, there's pros and cons. Using max day, Des Moines Water Works would receive 39% of the weighted vote. And I should set this up. We are under 50% for all of these. But between the top and the bottom, there's about a 6% variance. So it's not like it's, you know, 55% this way and 20% another way. 6% could be argued that significant. You know, again, we'll just kind of show you how the numbers landed. Population, this would be looking at the population of each of these participants in actual bodies. One advantage to this, or one benefit, one argument for it, and it's something actually I've heard Graham say several times, is we're here to serve people. You know, we're not here to serve lawns or, you know, just to put out consumption or demand. We're here to serve the people. One disadvantage of population relates to how it would be identified. The census, of course, is the official population count that comes up around every 10 years. And so in that 10-year window, from bookend to bookend, we would have to estimate or extrapolate the population based on unofficial counts. Certainly doable. That's been done in other entities. One other administrative drawback, I'll call it, and it's not a huge one, but it's something to keep in mind, is that not all of, especially our service area, has a census population attached to it. And what I mean by that is, imagine unincorporated Polk County, you know, a rural area. I can't go to the internet and Google what is the population of this service area. And so one way that we can get around that is to, you know, an assumption based on, you know, number of accounts times an assumed number of people living at a property. So we would kind of back into or estimate the population for those areas that are not easily defined. And so that really affects us. It also would affect Warren Water District and also Xenia, you know, where they have irregular borders, I would call it. We're at 44% there, which gives us the biggest advantage, frankly, from a weighted voting perspective. Consumption is the third method. And so this would just look at total demand, something that we track already, very easy to track. So it would be the relative annual demand by each entity. And Des Moines Water Works falls in at 40% there. The advantage to that, again, as I said, is we already track it, pretty easy to track, not really a lot of admin to that. I can't think of a big drawback to consumption, if I'm being honest, other than it's not, you know, bodies like population would be. The last two are weighted, and they're just a variation of max day and the consumption that we just talked about. And what the weighting is it looks at the most recent results and puts greater weight on the most recent years. And so the previous year would be rated more heavily than 2 years and 3 years ago and so forth. So it's weighted based on time or chronologically. And so if we use a weighted max day, Des Moines Water Works would have a 38% voice. And if we weighted consumption, we would have 39%. Not a big difference between those two methods once we weight them. I don't know that there is, you know, a big advantage to the weighting, and frankly, it doesn't change the results a whole lot. Again, it really just puts some emphasis on the most recent results. So if a community is growing in the recent 2 years or 3 years, that growth will be weighted more heavily than their status 5 years ago. So it does make some sense from that perspective.
Amy, it, like you mentioned, it doesn't seem like there's that big of a jump percentage-wise between these different options and Des Moines Water Works' benefit, I guess you could say, or percentage. And it also doesn't look like there's that much of a difference among many of the other communities. Is it possible to scroll down a little bit more to see if there is a jump at all in anybody?
And there is not. Des Moines Water Works would have the biggest differences among those five methods. So we have, you know, our biggest difference is 6%. We have a 3% for West Des Moines and a 3% difference max for Ankeny. And that's pretty, those are the bookends. So there's no outlier really for anybody. Any other questions about any of those methods or?
I did have a question on consumption. You talked about 5 years. Is it a 5-year average that you're talking about?
It is. And actually, okay. That's a great point. These are all 5 years except a 5-year average,
population.
Except for population.
Right. Okay. And then except for then the weighted consumption or would be?
Weighted 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, a weighted average for those 5 years. Yep.
Diane and
Ted, what is the, and I'm going to, I think, kind of steal someone else's point from a recent meeting, the thought that, you know, if we did this by max day or consumption, some other community, you know, maybe they bring in some large industrial water user, you know, call it another data center or something like that. To what degree could that affect a community's overall demand? You know, is Microsoft just a drop in the bucket of what West Des Moines draws, or is that a pretty significant, you know, could some big user like that significantly change the kind of voting interests?
I would share a couple of perspectives on that, Joel, and then Amy can shore them up. But especially from a consumption perspective, an overall consumption perspective, any one entity is going to be a fairly small percentage of the grand total for the region. Now, if that entity moved into Bondurant, that is a very small consumer, and doubled their consumption, you know, it could double the weight of their vote from 1% to 2%. But it isn't going to, it would be unlikely that anyone would have enough overall consumption to skew the Des Moines Water Works percentage one way or the other by, you know, more than a percent. Now, on the max day side, at least from what some of these data centers have told us they need to use on their maximum day, they've never realized these kind of numbers, but we heard initial projections from data centers as high as 6 million gallons in a day, which would be approximately 6% of the total demand. You know, our max day this year was 82 million or something, so just rounding to about 100. We've never seen a data center use that, but if they did use that much water, that could be, you know, 6 or 7% of the total. That could be a big number. Amy, what would you add to that?
I totally agree. That's what I was thinking when you started out. I think the max day from our perspective would carry the most risk in terms of having the most impact in other communities.
You know, Joel, to this point, and the reason I've yet to move off, you know, considering anything but population is, again, the basic thing that, you know, population is what we serve. We serve people. And then there's this unknown about a big user that could come in, or real constraints that could happen in the future on water use. And I don't think we want to do anything that's going to reward communities that don't conserve water and don't manage the resource efficiently. The whole reason, the overarching reason we're considering regional governance is because we want to maximize our natural resource. And all of these other things reward consumption by giving them weighted voting. And so until somebody can make an argument to me that one of these methods is a more fair and just way to weight voting, I can't move off the population being the best.
Well, I hope you'd stay open on that, Graham, because I think there's some additional things we will share with you. But certainly, I think there are some measures we can put in place on the 28E to encourage conservation and almost penalize, is the term I've heard from some other communities, when they do not conserve water. So I hope that this shows you that it's not a huge swing and that you'll just remain open on that.
And the peaking discussion is still taking place within the group.
Right.
So that's really where we get at talking about conservation and what kind of incentives are out there to manage the resource.
And we've actually heard the word penalty by some other folks as something we may want to put in place, which was kind of comforting and almost comical to us, because how long have we been fighting with the term penalty that, you know, we have been charged with in some of our rates?
One other data point that I'll offer, you know, the WRA is often looked at, I guess, as a comparable to a regional water utility. And Jody Smith at our last meeting shared that the WRA uses population as their weighting basis. So like I said, just one more data point.
But Amy, do they have weighted voting when it is, do the members have a right to call for a weighted vote, or are there automatic areas of weighted voting?
My understanding, and I haven't researched this or studied it, Diane, but based on what's been shared in those meetings, is that the members request a weighted vote. And in all of the years, I think Sue shared this at one of our meetings, in all the years, there's been one request, and
two.
And one was a formality, I think.
Yes,
one had to do with a land purchase, they said. So,
yeah. The one that Jody mentioned that was most memorable was it was a custodial contract. So not, you know, what I would call a real meaty issue, but there it was.
Is there the ability to have both? That here's a list of reasons why a weighted vote would be triggered, but just in case there is some controversial issue that was unforeseen, members have the ability to call for it?
Oh, interesting. You mean like a setting out areas that require a weighted voting and then an opportunity to trigger it if there's something else?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose you can write it any way.
And like it'd be pretty easy to draft it that way.
And you know, I think we have the WRA, which was a 20-year contract. And we did hear in our last meeting that there are a number of things, and we can share these with you. It's the kind of things that Ted brought up in his opening about legal services and HR services and other things, which have really become an irritant and things they want to change as that contract is renewed, what, in 3 years or whatever. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I can appreciate that they've only had to use weighted voting twice, but you know, you never need weighted voting until you need weighted voting.
Right. Yeah.
To be able to have that tool in the toolbox. So yeah, just making it, not that we wanna, I don't know, have a free for all, but not to restrict ourselves.
I understand we'll negotiate this deal, assuming we do, as a package. So I know we, you know, ultimately won't look at this issue in a vacuum, but you know, for the purpose of today, looking at it in a vacuum, I see no reason to stray away from population. I mean, the perverse incentive structure it creates to, you know, hire peaking, I think is troubling. I think while the WRA maybe has only called for a population or a weighted vote a few times, I'm thinking about this through the perspective of selling it to our customers, to Des Moines residents. And what are we doing for them? And are we, what steps are we taking to ensure we're protecting their rights? You know, ultimately, I'm sure we'll be able to draft the agreement population or consumption in a way that protects the rights of Des Moines ratepayers and is fair to everyone, but I think it's important to consider the optics as well. And we don't want to prioritize water consumption over people. So in a vacuum, I really favor population voting, and I think it's important that we make that clear to our negotiating partners. But you know, I understand this is going to be a package, and you know, everything is, you know, one lever is going to move something, and another lever will move accordingly. So I don't know if that's the kind of feedback Ted's looking for, but those are my general thoughts.
And I'll just chime in that I tend to echo both Graham and Joel there. When Ted and Graham were talking about their list of questions that they needed answered and moving forward and things to consider, you know, a lot of my questions revolved around, you know, water conservation and the information we just got about the peaking discussion and things of that nature. And so looking at population versus any sort of measurement of consumption, I tend to lean towards population as well.
I suppose I should add, what I don't know, the factor I don't know in this is how important this is to our negotiating partners. I mean, I think if it was just us, obviously we'd go with population, but clearly those in the micro group are getting some pushback from the other communities. This might not be an appropriate place to go into detail on that because that's a sensitive negotiating matter. But my opinion is qualified, and I don't really know, you know, how much of a sticking point this is, like Sue and Diane would. So,
well, we're not asking for a decision today. We just wanted to, you know, share the numbers with you. I think it's all in the package. I mean, what are we going to be able to put together as an overall package? So I think you understand the numbers. And Ted, I think we should probably move on because we have a lot of things and we're coming up on 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I agree, Sue. And I do think that this is exactly the kind of feedback we needed at this point. We'll be bringing other topics to the board for consideration. And I think it's important for you to for us to understand where the board is on this and the other topics. So Sue, I think that takes us beyond the need for closed session. I didn't hear any reason why we would need to go into closed session as outlined in item 2 as a possibility. So unless...
I think there's just some information that we would like to bring back to this board that we have heard that has been shared. I think it would be quick, but...
Okay.
Diane, would you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
So with that, I'm looking for a motion for us to go into closed session. And if we don't have one, we won't go into closed session.
Yeah, I guess I just don't know enough about what we're going to discuss in closed session to make an informed decision.
It's not a decision that we would be asking you to make, but just
no. The
sharing.
The decision is to go into closed session. I don't have enough information to know why we should.
Just based on some of the negotiation strategies that I think we have been made aware of, but we can do that offline if this group is not interested in going into closed session, that's fine. And it looks like no one is interested in doing that. So anything else, Ted?
Well, there was an item related to reviewing the customer service committee duties. I think following the lead from the last committee meeting, we could send those.
And I would chime in on that one, Ted, as my comments at the board meeting. I think the customer relations one, the discussion on those duties for this committee is one that probably could be tabled while we go through some of this regionalization discussion. My guess is that this committee's mandate may the board may want to change this board's mandate later in the year once we move forward with regionalization. So I would suggest putting that on the back burner for this committee.
Fair enough. That would take.
On the regionalization discussion, if we're moving past that, there's one more thought I wanted to share. And maybe this is, I think this is fine for open session, but please stop me if you think I'm delving too far into kind of our negotiating strategy. I wanted to kind of discuss the point you and I discussed the other day, just about the kind of steps we'll go through, assuming we're able to move regionalization forward, as far as kind of when our board will vote, you know, when we'll take it to other boards for their vote. Do you mind if I kind of rehash our, do a kind of summary of our conversation, Ted? Just to kind of help clarify my thinking.
Yeah, I don't mind at all, Joel. I don't think that would be inappropriate.
So it is, you know, I'm thinking it will, as I said, trying to figure out kind of when are we going to vote on this? When will we make decisions and how will that work? So my perception is, Ted, you'll continue to take somewhat informal feedback from us, like meetings like this. You and the micro group will finalize a term sheet. Hopefully at least one, if not both of the other members of the micro group also endorsing it. That will become public. We'll vote on the term sheet to approve it. You know, it'll just be a proposal from you, the CEO, before then. And then, like I said, hopefully at least one of, and hopefully both of the other micro group in the micro group endorse it. Then we take that term sheet and the associated 28E to the larger group, where we effectively begin a second round of negotiations, hopefully with fewer changes, but surely some of the other communities will want input. And then with that input, we'll vote again on the final agreement, the 28E. And I'm sure there's potential for many more votes in between. But that was kind of my understanding of the route we would take. And I'm curious if people have different thoughts or can fill that in a little or reactions.
Well, one thing I would add to that, Joel, is that we are receiving informal feedback. We're working with the micro group. We're trying to continue to develop the term sheet as a framework, if you will, or an executive summary of the 28E. And at the same time, we are trying to bring the 28E agreement along in parallel. At some point, we will get to the end of our discussions with the micro group, and we will have the term sheet, hopefully, that is supported by the group that can serve as a outline basis for the final 28E draft, the final draft 28E. And then we will share one of those, either or one or both, for feedback, as you've discussed. And I do expect that there will be feedback. I'm hopeful that it's close, if we get the rest of the group to agree that it's close, and there doesn't have to be months of discussion. But that's my vision, is that we will bring the two along in parallel. We will get to a point where the discussions are over and we have an offer to make that this board would approve, and we would make that offer.
So question, sorry, Joel, do you have anything else there?
No, that was it. I'm sorry, I ran through that kind of quick
Okay. I was jotting down your steps, and I'm curious at what point do we package this to share to our ratepayers? Is it when the term sheet becomes public before we vote, or is it at the point of the 2080 going to the larger regional group? So at what point do we try to put this into a digestible piece that the rest of our ratepayers can learn, understand, and provide any sort of feedback to us on?
I think it has to be before we vote, because it will have to be public on an agenda and
before the term sheet.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
So that's what's so tough about Ted's job, is he's going to have to hammer out a deal that he thinks we're, you know, at least three of us are going to support before we ever, you know, vote or take action on it.
Well, and that's, you know, to today's indecision or a decision not to go into closed session. I mean, maybe there's a moment where, or there'll be a time where we want to go into closed session and to lay out and discuss our negotiating strategy about how we, what we're willing to offer and those, because maybe those things are something we have to be done behind closed doors. But I think all of us, my sense is after today's brief discussion that we all want to have a clear idea of exactly why we're going in the closed session and what's going to be discussed that day and how that helps us move the ball down the field.
And I guess to that point, if there is something that we do need to discuss in closed session today, I'm not opposed to doing it. If Sue or Diane feel that's the appropriate direction.
Well, I don't think we made a strong enough case for it. It's just, we are hearing a lot of things in these meetings and a lot of awareness, which I think ultimately provides us with strategy as to what's important to others and what may not be as important to us. And I don't know how to be any clearer than that. And so rather than saving those things till the end, I was just trying to bring the board along as we go. But we can save them and tuck them away till the end.
Well, I don't want to tuck them away at the end. I mean, maybe the best thing to do is, might I suggest that Sue and Diane and Ted kind of discuss what these items are and make a plan of when it's best to bring them to us, and maybe provide us a little bit of an outline of what we're going to discuss in those closed sessions before we vote on them.
That's fine.
I think that we can easily put together an outline of what we want to discuss for so that the board will have a sense of why we're going into closed session.
That'd be great.
And I don't know that we can do that today, but we can.
No, I'm not asking for you to do that today. I think for the next, if there's a meeting that you want to go into closed session, put your heads together a little bit about, you know, when the timing of that should be and give us some idea of what we're going to discuss.
Right. We can do that. Absolutely.
Sue, I think you're muted.
Thanks. Moving right along, we're going to table the customer relations committee duties. And Graham and I had a conversation early on. We kind of remembered this committee more as an ad hoc anyway. So let's see how we come out after going through regionalization. And it may just be that this committee is on an as-needed basis if there are issues for customers, which is why I think it originally came together. Mm-hmm. And with that, I think, Ted, we're ready for CEO and general manager comments.
Thank you, Sue. Four quick comments. One, just to let the board know, our spring water quality challenges are upon us a little earlier than normal. We did see some ammonia in the Raccoon River this week already it was last week, that has moved us to the Des Moines River earlier in the season than we would like to see, creating some challenges from a water quality perspective that we're handling right now, but we don't like to see that kind of thing happen so early in the spring. We did have our 20th employee test positive for COVID-19 this week. 21 would be exactly 10% of our staff. So we're approaching the 10% mark. Everyone who has been infected thus far has recovered and they're fine. But we continue to be nagged by about one at a time. Nothing catastrophic, but we have almost reached 10%. The last thing, just three things. Currently, we don't have an agenda item for Tuesday's Finance and Audit Committee. So we could give consideration to canceling that meeting, or we could give consideration to using that time to outline some things that we would like to share with the board in closed session related to regionalization. I think that would be appropriate if it were messaged that way, but board's preference. Otherwise, we won't meet again until the board meeting on the 23rd of February. Is there a thought on that?
Well, I would prefer, I'd like to have a conversation with Graham so he knows the issues that I think are important for the board to know.
Okay.
And that does not have to have a special meeting. But again, just in the spirit of making sure everyone in the board is brought along with some of these things, I would suggest, Graham, if you and I or you and Diane or any of us could just share a couple of these things. I don't want to hold them without the board knowing, because I mean, we've been tasked with fast tracking this, and I just don't want someone to say later on, well, why didn't you tell us that? So, but I think we can do it in a different way than calling a separate meeting on Tuesday.
Fair enough. That being the case, Joel, as the chair of finance and audit, any issue with canceling that meeting?
A dubious act is my first act as chair of that committee, but I think that's fine. I had told Ted earlier, I thought it'd be fine if we wanted to discuss regionalization, then I'm available for it, but I don't know that we need to, as Sue said, have a special meeting just for it. So I think that's fine with me.
Fair enough. Sue, that's all for me today.
Ted, I had a question. You talked about the rate of infection on the staff. Where are you on vaccination?
You know, we are still slotted in 1C, in group 1C. We have, as part of an association of water agencies in the state, sent a letter to the director of the department, the Iowa Department of Public Health. We also, as Des Moines Water Works, I myself personally sent a letter asking for the opportunity to share with them our thoughts and concerns about critical infrastructure being in 1C instead of 1B where it is nationally. We received a response to that letter, which was basically just, you know, thank you for reaching out, and we're gonna continue to follow up on that and see if we can't get the opportunity to visit with them about why we think it would be important to have the opportunity for our staff, especially our frontline staff, to be vaccinated. But right now we are still in 1C, which is estimated to be midsummer.
Yeah, well, I think all these vaccination issues are moot until we get more vaccine. I'm in a group that is supposed to have access to the vaccine and can't get through on any of the websites or phones. So,
Ted, let me offer something on that. As you may have seen in today's news, Dowling High School, oddly, is going to be the first school in the state to get teachers vaccinated, which is an odd choice, but I'll save that comment. I guess I already made that comment. But what I found out today about that is there are entities like Unity Point Health and others that are working with organizations to provide vaccinations on site.
Yes.
Unity Point can't, you know, in individual clinics, it's hard to schedule vaccinations, but if they can come someplace and vaccinate an entire group of people, things can move a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. I have a contact, two contacts with occupational health folks at Unity Point that I will forward to you. And I would advise you to reach out to them and say that we can do this vaccination on site at Unity or at Waterworks for X number of employees that are in this group. And I think that will move us up the chain faster.
Okay. We'd be happy.
Graham, I'm so glad you brought that up. And as you may know, Mercy One is now doing the same thing. And Saturday there will be 500 vaccines given to Des Moines Public Schools. But you are absolutely right. That takes it off the grid and definitely something that we would have the ability to do there at Waterworks. So I'm so
glad. Well, it stops our people, right? It stops our people from having to fend for their own to get in the line. We can hopefully schedule a day and bring in our employees, and it makes a lot more sense from the folks administering the vaccine. So I'll provide you those contacts.
Yeah,
and I am sorry, I lost my internet connection there slightly. Ted, you were talking about 21 would be 10% of our population that has been infected. And then I got kicked out. And I think there was a decision made not to have the Finance and Audit Committee meeting. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I missed that discussion, but I'm back.
Did you hear the conversation that I wanted to have an offline conversation with you so you know what the items are and whether you want to go into closed session at the board meeting?
I did not hear that, but I'm happy to talk.
I'd like to have a meeting with you.
Okay. So, I was gone for that, so.
Okay, good. But we'll find a time. And
okay.
I think that would be a better way for you to figure out, Graham, as chair, when you want to go into closed session and when the information is meaningful, because the last thing that Diane and I want is to get to the end and have you say, well, now that's a meaningful piece of data. I wish you would have told us that earlier. So
right. Thanks. We can talk about that.
All right. Well, with that, I know we don't have any additional public on. I don't believe it. I'll take one final call for it and ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. And we are adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.